Okay, we are plugged in now. It's Monday the 27th of February, 2017, of course. And folks can get this podcast over at crazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z. Tons going up there. It's a very interactive site, so log on to there and comment and check it out. You can also link over to YouTube if you want. This channel over there somewhere. Been on for a while, but also can get the podcast over at iTunes, doing very well in the ranks over there, and also Facebook. I put it up there each time, so very active. The Crass Files, it is on Facebook, Twitter as well. You can also check out the other website, which is opensourcetruth.com. A lot of medical related articles going up there, and that links to Natural Solutions Foundation page on Facebook and their outsources as well. But we are plugged in and ready to go tonight with a great show and great guests. Very unique, actually, so very happy that I could plug in with these guys. So we got Brendan Murphy and Amy on the line with me, and we're talking here about global freedom movement, which we're going to mainly go into tonight and dissect, because very interesting what these guys are doing. And this is the independent Australian media and people working very hard to get this stuff out. Now, we don't have a lot of this in Australia, I've noted. Most of the stuff I get's from the US, but we're gaining traction here. So good to have you guys on. How you going?
Awesome, Adam. Thanks for having us, man.
I've been following you guys and you, Brendan, for a while, and this global freedom movement, and plugged in and watched the progress of this. And getting some emails through about becoming a member and donating here to the Global Freedom University. So that's going to have to talk about this, because I like this idea. And so why don't we get stuck in here and let us know a bit about yourselves and this project that you guys are very deeply entrenched in at this moment. What's happening with this?
Yeah, well, this is our baby. This is our new baby. We got to a point doing the global freedom movement stuff, you know, in particular global freedom movement media, where we'd done it for a couple of years, you know, sort of a lot of backbreaking work, and we got to the point where a lot of people were asking questions like, they would watch an interview that we do and they'd say, oh, that was great information, but what do I do now, or how do I apply it? And we felt like it was time to do something that was going to take the game to the next level, which in the end, the solution that we devised was the online university portal idea, so that we can have a systematic sort of structured educational platform that is also a social media hub. And we can eliminate a lot of the distractions and noise that come with, you know, the way that we're learning on social media and finding information and researching things, which is, you know, it's great in terms of exposure to all sorts of different stuff, but it's also, we pay a price with our attention spans shrinking. We're distractible. Our brain function actually suffers as a result of all of that kind of stuff, flicking from this to that and back to this again. And we just sort of wanted to bring people together in a way that they could actually empower themselves more efficiently and more effectively in a more directed kind of a way. So not we were going to have, you know, the basis of what we're working on is that we are fundamentally educational, but we are educating about the material that the mainstream educational system will not touch or will not deal with properly and accurately, and the stuff that the media won't deal with properly and accurately. So we're going to have this available in a structured setting for people, and it'll be I think a lot more convenient and efficient as far as learning is concerned. Yeah,
it's a unique thing, because in Australia, well, for an outsider living in another country, you would look at Australia and think, here's this shining democracy and, a lot of where people can do what they want. And it's an amazing country. I love the country and everything, but it's really rotten and it's going down a dark path. And some of the One Nation candidates said that. Australia's very, very fast, rapidly declining. It's going down a very, very dark path indeed. It's getting scary for a lot of people. And looking at the outreach of the media in general, I mean, it's mainly controlled by big corporations, you know, looking at Rupert Murdoch controlling a large portion, probably almost 70% of our media, you know, Foxtel and especially our printed media and all these newspapers that are coming out. You know, we're obviously getting, you know, only news in regards to what they want us to hear, you know. Anything else is kind of tossed aside, and so we're very, people don't realize that we're so limited in Australia for alternative, real alternative news outlets. And it's really something that's been lacking, but as you were talking about before, Brendan, you know, there's so much information coming through now on social media alone. You know, I never wanted to go on social media because I always thought it was like a bunch of, you know, people always talking about themselves and, you know, what they're doing today, what they're doing tomorrow. There's a picture of me, all this kind of self-indulgence. And now it's turned into this kind of 24/7 news feed, alternative news feed. It's so interesting and it's unstoppable. And I think what you guys are doing and what I was trying to do is just to filter that through and put out good information for people to see, because then they spread it and it spreads from there, and that's what I'm seeing in Australia, which is I've not seen before. So it's definitely positive times ahead, and you guys are sort of getting really good information on your site, Global Freedom Movement, and able to get that out to a large audience. Because I go through the articles, they're fantastic, and I'm looking on Facebook, a lot of people are sharing them and talking about it, so we're all linking up now, and it's something I've not seen much, so it's a positive change. What's your grasp on how, with your website, if we start there, how that's going, how have you found the reception of that and getting the articles out, and how big do you think you can go with it?
Well, if we had more time.
You need resources and time, right?
So right, yeah.
Websites aren't easy.
No.
That's right.
It's really, it should be a full-time job, really.
You need to. Well, you need to get some people who are members, I think. I think that's a good way of having paid content, where people can log in with a passcode and get extra content on the website. So you're making something, you know?
Yeah, so... both of us are both writers and we love doing that, and we would love to be doing that a lot more than we do right now. I mean, but one thing we've strived to do with Global Freedom Movement from the beginning is not to be just another news site or a news feed. We want to, you know, give people a different perspective about what's going on in the world and give them solutions. We've always focused on the solutions and kind of shifting people from, you know, being in that mentality of, oh, they're doing this to us and, you know, there's nothing we can do about it and that kind of thing, to, okay, that's what's happening. Here's what we can do to not have that happen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we want to come from a solution-based perspective. So, I mean, what Amy and I are a particularly powerful team, because Amy's good at, she's really, what comes naturally for her is simple solutions, and how do you take the knowledge that you have and actually make real changes in your life. And she's more sort of the dealing with the light or lighter aspects of things, whereas I'm hardwired to deal with really heavy stuff, or what you might call the dark stuff. And together, you know, like, we've got the diagnostic and the diagnostic aspect and the remedy or the solution aspect, and that's where we're coming from, is a place of awareness, but empowered awareness, not frustrated, angry, you know, there's no way out, we're in a dead end, kind of that mentality that we see a lot, or just raging against the system with no constructive way of dealing with it or moving forward. So that's what we're coming from, a place where we understand that, you know, you have to start internal. The real work starts internally, and it starts with developing awareness and self-awareness and healing and all this sort of stuff. And you get to a point where you clean yourself up enough, and you've been doing enough study over the years, like we've been doing. We've got over 20 years, probably more like 25 years of research behind us across, you know, many different areas, multiple disciplines. And we've taken that awareness that we've got through years of hard work, and we're putting together a structure that is Very, you know, there's going to be all sorts of shades of light and dark here. We're not going to shy away from anything. We'll deal with all the horrible, horrific, unpleasant stuff, and we'll also provide solutions on a day-to-day kind of practical level as well. So we're not going to miss out on anything, and all the essentials are going to be there.
Sarai, well, you bring up a lot of points there. I mean, I myself rebelled against the system when I was little and was thrown out of school, and I'm kind of, maybe I'm sort of Irish-Scottish background, so very fiery, fiery bloodline. I get fired up, you know. I don't have that partner. My wife doesn't get involved in any of this. I do it myself, and I tend to get very passionate. And so I've learnt myself with interviewing and how to tone things down and do things the right way, because one thing I didn't know when I was younger, that is, you know, when you're younger and you rebel against the system and you fight against the system and you pollute your body and you smoke and you think you're all tough and you get in trouble with the police and all this stuff, you're not actually rebelling against the system. You're playing into its hands. You're doing what you're designed to do. That's what they want. You know, it's a farmer or people who are like you guys or us, or people who are on the land and supplying food for themselves and putting back and all this stuff. They're actually the ones who are rebelling, you know, if you look at it that way. So, you know, people need to control their anger and everything, as you alluded to, and focus it. And that's what I've been trying to do more, a lot more. And I find that it has much more of effect if I can start putting out better material and putting out stuff in a certain way. So that was that's always an important point, because if we're fighting each other or getting too upset and angry because the system, whatever it is, and after all these years I haven't been able to totally work out what is running this planet, whether it's globalists or it's bankers or it's these elites or whatever you want to call them, I'm not completely there yet on what I think is actually happening. But whatever it is, it seems to be absolutely feeding on fear, because fear is the greatest enemy of mankind. You know, and it's like people who are living in fear, a lot of them don't even know that, and it's like a kind of drowning awake, or sort of being conscious while you're underneath a quicksand. You know. When you're drowning and you panic, you're going to sink so fast. And I think that people really need to overcome the fear. But you do get a lot of big news outlets or alternative news outlets that really do glamorize fear to sell stuff. And so it's hard to sort of get really good, precise information that's going to make people want to get out there and change things and do things. I'm kind of just a rogue sort of guy wandering through this life doing what I do, whereas you guys are kind of creating something here for other people to get involved in, which is really, that's what I like about it. And I think people coming in and either being a member or getting involved in any way they can, that's what we're kind of lacking here. And what I was saying before, we're doing a lot of different websites and a lot of different alternative media and everything, but sometimes we can be a bit too split up. So it's good to do something that's going to bring a lot of people on board. Do you feel like that's something that you're going to be able to achieve with this, to get more and more people on board? Is this something that, and we'll get into the university as well, is this something that you think is absolutely working?
The collaboration aspect is... I mean, it's definitely, we're much more effective when we're working together and sharing and supporting each other. And I do, not to be petty, but I remember who supports us and helps us and I remember who doesn't.
That's right.
And you know, what you're doing here is so valuable for us, and also for the people whose lives are eventually going to be benefited by the work that we're doing when they, interact with it or learn from it. And yeah, as you're saying, you know, fear and rebelling against the system. I mean, you'll find, as you have yourself, you can't rebel against the system in terms of, getting angry and, shouting at police or rioting or any of that stuff, because it's so biased against us. The deck is so stacked against us from the outset that the only real effective way of doing anything is to get to the point of awareness where you can figure out how to withdraw your energy and your funding and your attention from the system or the fraud that is stomping all over us. So that's where we're sort of we're coming from here, and that's where collaborating is so useful as well. I mean, unfortunately, we have a monetary system that is a complete fraud for a start, but it also, as a result of its fraudulent, ridiculous nature, it enslaves all of us, as you know, we're all in a situation where we're in indentured servitude. And what it does is it pits us against one another, and all these alternative media outlets, you know, we end up by default virtually, unless we can make a real conscious effort to overcome it and work together, we end up competing against each other because everybody's got living stress on them. You know, they're all trying to fight to survive and get enough, you know, advertising revenue or whatever it is, email subscribers and whatever, that they can survive and get the next bunch of what Robert Anton Wilson called was biosurvival tickets. So money, in other words. So we've got this. We're sort of hooked up to the veins to this monetary machine that's actually siphoning off our life force, and we need to actually find ways around that and start withdrawing from it. And you know, that's where stuff like cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin and all these things are really useful. And again, a lot of that stuff is done or created in a kind of a community oriented or collaborative way, and that's a way forward, because we've been divided and we've been conquered. And the victors have been, you know, laughing all the way to the bank, and so now we have to realize that the only way forward is actually by ending the ridiculous sort of state of division and bickering amongst ourselves and competing against one another, and actually agree on what we agree on. I mean, we have so many shared values. You know, if you were to ask anybody, you know, left someone who's a hardcore leftist versus a hardcore conservative, you know, what their core values in life are, you'd probably find most of them are the same. Where we go wrong is with our belief structures and our attachment to those structures and our identification with those structures, and we let that divide us. And it's just, you know, it's so easy for the controlling elite, because they have the mechanisms to implant belief structures in the mass mind, and then we identify with it, and we run off and think that we've got the truth or whatever. You know, my book's the holy book, or you know, this scientific theory is gospel or whatever, and we end up fighting amongst ourselves at the lowest possible levels. And we don't want to be dealing with the system at the low levels anymore. Like, you know, you just end up in handcuffs with the police. That's all you're not benefiting anybody by doing that. You're not benefiting yourself. We don't want to be interacting with the system's henchmen and minions at those low levels. We need a different, more constructive, strategic, and targeted approach.
That's right. Exactly. Well said. It's the system is cunning and knows us, seems to know us very on a deep level. And I look at someone like Donald Trump, and I really like some of the things he's doing, but it makes me worry as well, because I think, is the system changing and becoming more cunning as so many people wake up? Are they giving us the leaders that we want? You know, while this same hand behind the mirror is still controlling all the action, you know, this unseen hand. So I don't really know how to judge any of that, but it's amazing to me how much of, you know, just the general public in Australia, how quickly they'll just go off mainstream media propaganda and not even question it anymore. That's a real worry, and I've never seen it so bad here.
It's become more obvious how bad that social engineering is, because that worldview and that mindset is now being exposed to the other side. You know, for people like us who've crossed the Rubicon, and now, you know, for people like us, there's no going back. And now we have the thing, something like Facebook or social media, that puts these diametrically opposed worldviews right there up against each other, juxtaposed. And we've got people who are interacting with other people with radically different opinions and ideas, and so it starts to become really obvious how effective that is to people who understand what's happened, how effective that social engineering has been in brainwashing us and dumbing us down. And then you're looking at the people who are still hooked up to the matrix and still plugged into it, and you're thinking, well, oh, shit, you know, what's it going to take? They're not looking, stepping back at the bigger picture here and seeing the trend that is happening all around them, that they're embedded within and resisting, which is this exposure of information, the raising of information into awareness that was previously suppressed and subdued and ignored. And now we have an opportunity now to absorb the truth about so many things, And it's really a choice now. I mean, it's like they say, in the age of ignorance, sorry, in the age of information, ignorance is a choice, because everything's being spoon-fed to us. And I guess that's part of the problem as well, is it's just information overload, and we can't keep up with it. We don't know where to go next. You know, it's like 1 second you're looking at a you're reading an article on permaculture or something, and then 5 minutes later, someone has somehow managed to suck you into a debate about whether the Earth is flat or round. And it's like, well, what happened to the permaculture article? You know, you were doing something useful and constructive there that was going to benefit you and other people around you, and now you're wasting time in an ideological battle on a social media platform. Like, these are some of the things that we could do with a lot less of, and so that's one of the solutions that. That's embedded within this Global Freedom University idea that we're building is this getting rid of the enormous number of distractions that are constantly lurking right there in your face, and basically allowing people to I guess in a way probably put a lot of people off by saying this, but to actually have an opportunity to redevelop or reaccess a thing called an attention span, and actually have a sustained effort at something. Because what we're doing now is we're undermining our own cognitive abilities by having just chaos, information just coming in left, right and center, and it's all contradictory and it's a mess. And the only way you get anything worthwhile done in this world is actually by making a sustained, focused effort. And it seems like we've lost that art to a certain extent.
That's right. And I think the Australian public now, from my angle, they seem like that field of geese, you know, that there's hundreds of geese just peacefully chomping away and no problems, and then that one goose gets spooked for some reason and flies off in this direction, and then hundreds of geese follow, you know, but it's only that one original goose that know why it flew off in the first place anyway. The rest are just following. They don't know why they've taken off. And that's like the public, you know.
Yeah.
It was like 9/11. I mean, 9/11 happened, and it's proven now that all the information all around the world that we were getting, that the Americans were getting, that everybody was getting, was only coming from one or two sources. Mm. It was all the same information, and you were being told on the screen what to think. You know, the buildings are coming down. It was telling you on the subtitles what to think, how to act, everything, you know. So they're bringing forth an event while telling you how to see it and how to think about it. But no one, as you said, steps back and stops for a second and takes a breather and thinks, hang on, you know, why did all these geese fly off? You know, what's going on here? Or why did those buildings, what the hell's going on? That defies physics. It defies every law. You know, this is ridiculous. I'm going to step back. Hang on, let me question this. They don't, and they go off. So more than I've ever seen in my life, I've never seen anything like it. Particularly with the vaccination issue now, they just have to put anti-vaxxer in the Telegraph paper now, and the mob, they don't even need to read it, because that's enough to make up their mind that the story to follow is about dirty, unwashed anti-vaxxers who are on meth and don't have any teeth and are on the dole, and, you know, all of this mind vomit that they spill out. But it's still continuing today, and it's got worse and worse. And my idea is that, you know, it's always going to get worse, because these kind of things always implode in on themselves. And as they get more desperate to maintain the lie and maintain these newspapers, they just... I was saying that on one of the last shows, you know, with Trump and his attack on the media, he has exposed how corrupt and rotten the media are in the US, and I do like that very much. And I'm wondering where they're going to go, if they're going to try and save face and some dignity here and try and get the trust back of the people. But here they've just got worse and uglier, and they're not doing the reporting that they should be at all. And, you know, I just got to the point, I was thinking, what are we going to do here? You know, and so that's why I'm happy that this is all going forth with you guys and what we're doing. There's so many people doing this now, getting information out. But the media, to me, in this country is just shocking. I've never seen anything like it. It's just absolutely appalling and disgusting, really.
It is, and but it's only effective. See, it's rapidly losing its audience and its effectiveness.
That's
and,
right.
And it's only effective in manipulating people who have. Or who have unconsciously formed those belief structures in the first place. So they haven't actually, they don't even know why they believe what they believe. They've never actually stepped back and looked at Well, hang on a second. Why do I even believe that? Why am I so attached to that? It doesn't make sense that I'm so emotionally wedded to this stuff, and I've never looked into it. I've never studied it. You know, I mean, you ask any, like, to use an example that you just brought up, you ask anyone who's ardently pro-vax, you know, what kind of study they've done in the subject, and invariably the answer is basically zero, or maybe they've done a Wikipedia search for 10 minutes or something, you know. So it's just one of those classic examples of people allowing the system to mold their thoughts and their minds, and it's that unconsciousness, that passive reception of information without analysis, without rational thought and critical thinking, that is such a problem. I mean, that's been humanity's problem for, I mean, God knows how long, what, 2,000 years? I mean, we can point to, you know, the formation of, or the beginnings of the Christian religion. We could go back in time further than that, because obviously we've always formed beliefs without great, you know, shall we say, a great foundation or evidence behind them. We just form beliefs that make us feel comfortable. And once we're comfortable, we don't want to be shaken out of that comfort zone. So we don't want to listen to what the disgusting, filthy anti-vaxxer has to say, because we already know that they're wrong. We don't have to study that subject because we already know. We have that a priori information, that knowledge that has been mystically endowed upon us by the system, which is the ultimate authority figure and structure. And if the authority figure says X is true, then X must be true. Why? Because that's the authority structure, and the authority structure is right. It has that ontological and epistemological privilege that allows it to dictate reality with impunity. And the people who are marginalized, for example, as anti-vaxxers, are the ones who've stepped back and gone, hang on a second, I don't need to believe this shit just because they tell me to believe it. I actually have a brain, I have a mind of my own, and I'm going to use it. And then when they use it, they find, oh, hang on a second, all that crap they were telling us, that was all lies from top to bottom. It was garbage. And there's no going back once you hit that point. And the system becomes more and more desperate as more and more people make that transition into consciously forming belief systems. It becomes more and more desperate to keep them in the pen, and more frantic, and it becomes more vulgar about it and more violent and aggressive. So you get these, you know, you get the aggressive, you know, bomb threats and death threats directed at so-called anti-vaxxers by the so-called, you know, pro-life vaccinators. And you get all these ridiculous situations because the system's losing its grip slowly but surely and at an increasing rate. And more people are realizing that, oh, hang on. Once the thing is, once someone abandons or shifts a belief on one subject, they're much more likely to do it around other core subjects as well. And the system relies on us basically not thinking for ourselves ever and not studying any of that subject matter ever. Because if it knows, I mean, there are people who know that what they're doing to us is deceiving us and manipulating us, and they know that. But most of the people involved in the system itself are unconscious minions who are themselves victims of it, and, you know, they have Stockholm syndrome and they're perpetuating this garbage because they've bought into it. But there are people at higher levels embedded within the structure that know that it's garbage, and they're the ones who are making, you know, the biggest profits off of it, and they're the ones who have that crazy psychopathic lust for control and power. And that's the other thing that's hard to get through to people as well a lot of the time, is that what's happening around us isn't simply about money. It is on sort of like lower levels, but at higher levels it's more than that. There's more than money at stake here. It's power and it's control and it's prestige and all that crap that comes with it.
That's right. I don't think I could disagree with anything you said. It's very true. Apparently, if I don't want to poison my child with vaccines or myself, I eat mung beans. I don't know what that means, but it's got so low level that it's really become ridiculous. But I just walk through it. I don't take any notice anymore. I'm hoping other people will do the same. But yeah, right. Yeah, capture bonding. It seems like the people are policing themselves now, you know, but I don't know if we can ever really change the real system behind this. What as I said before, whatever is running things, but I think you can definitely get change down on the ground, and I know that pushback works, and I think that they will keep implementing new kind of draconian laws and systems and ideas. It's whatever basically the people will put up with. Mm. You know, it's like the No Jab campaign. It's totally illegal. It breaks so many international laws. It's anti-human, really. It's total bullying. It's absolute discrimination. It's treating families like criminals. It's dividing the community. I could go on all night, and I followed this since day one, and they still did it. I just couldn't believe it, and it's progressed from there, and now it's become, you know, an attack on natural therapies. It's become an attack on natural therapists, homeopathy, naturopathy, even Chinese herbalist medicine. It's become an attack on the supplements, on the supplement industry, and all of this. And I can see where they're going with it. And they just seem to want. It's very obvious to me that the media obviously rely on money from corporations and pharmaceutical industry to keep functioning, and that these so-called columnists or prostitutes, as we call them, are definitely have an agenda and are pushing an idea. And I think they're going to do that till the cows come home. I think they've got an agenda to push, which is a pharmaceutical agenda, which is to get more vaccines into our kids and adults if they can get it. It's a lot of money involved here, and at any cost. So we need people to come on side and wake up to this as fast as we can get it, because I can see we're kind of running out of time there, and I think these vaccine laws are getting a little bit scary. As I've said before, they haven't got to the point. I don't think they can force vaccinate you and come into your house and hold you down on the carpet, but I've said it before, they're making life so difficult for most families now that they can't avoid it, because I've spoken to families who didn't vaccinate, but now they've gone and vaccinated because of schooling, childcare, rebates, money, this sort of thing, and it's just easier for them to do so. And I think that is manipulation, but the media are spinning it saying, well, look at these people, it shows that they'll give up their anti-vaccination stance when money's involved, and they're turning it all into a nasty thing, of course, as they do, because they're nasty toilet bugs. But, I feel sorry for a lot of families, and I know a lot of communities are being divided, but also recently I've ran into so many families who just won't vaccinate their kids because they don't want to, and they're worried. They're worried that it's going to hurt their kids, and I feel for them, and they don't care about the money that they're losing, and so it's that's why I'm in it. I don't want to live in a country where pharmaceutical companies have more rights over my child's body and my body than I do. I don't want to live in a medical tyranny, and I don't want to live in a police state, and I don't like where this country's going. And I don't like what the media are doing, but I am seeing a lot of people waking up to this. But as we've been talking tonight, I'm seeing a positive change. It seems to be a bit of a shift, would you agree, out of the fear into more of a positive movement forward. I'm seeing that. I'm seeing a lot of people sort of not worrying about things too much, and they're just putting out good information, connecting on Facebook. And I always try and stick up for a lot of the anti-vaccination community, because a lot of them are mums who have vaccine-injured kids. I've spoken to a lot of them, and they vaccinated, They vaccinated, they did what they were told, and they went off the information that they received at that time off their doctor, and they copped, they copped the worst blow that you could possibly get, a vaccine-injured children. Yeah. Either having hundreds of seizures a day, brain damaged, in a wheelchair, dead, whatever it may be, chronic diseases, problems for the rest of their lives. And this is what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny said, these vaccinated kids become customers for life for these pharmaceutical industries, It's not just about the severe damage, it's about the attack on the immune system of these children, that they're going to have to go on all sorts of drugs for a compromised immune system for the rest of their life, because they've got this sick gut health. That's where the vaccines attack, their gut, their brain. They've got allergies, they've got asthma, they've got skin irritations, they've got all sorts of things that trigger for all sorts of other things. and you know, this is good money for them. But there's people out there who are suffering, and there's people who are looking after vaccine injured kids who are severe, who have had their payments stripped, and they're single mums because their families have split up. And, you know, they're being attacked now for talking about their vaccine injury, and they're being called anti-vaxxers, and it's really a disgusting thing. But I think that going into these Facebook groups at least gives these people, you know, enables them to connect with other people who are going through the same thing. And that's a good thing about social media. Social media can be a bad thing. It can be quite evil, actually. You know, to be honest, Facebook gives me the creeps. I never really liked it. There's something about it, but I think what I've tried to do, as I said before, I tend to lose my temper. I try to control my thoughts now, and I've tried to use Facebook in a positive manner as a tool, because at the end of the day, it's just technology. Everything's a creation of our minds, of our consciousness, you know, what we think it is. I think the universe around us, everything, even everyone around us, are constantly changing and shifting and adapting to our thoughts and what we think and how we see things. And so, you know, I think it's a good idea for people to dig in and use technology as a tool to get a positive message out and get other people connected, whether you want to do a podcast or do what you guys are doing or a little bit of a blog. There's so many things you can do, you know.
Yeah, well, that's it, and it's just a matter of people understanding their own personal responsibility, that they are responsible for the state of the culture that they live in, and, you know, the state of their life, obviously, and to understand that you aren't powerless, even if you believe you are. I mean, you're not really powerless. As horrible as the system has become, and as desperate and violent as it is, you're not completely powerless, and The more we team up and collaborate, the more useful we are for one another and for the overall cause of freedom. I mean, I want to live in a country that has a basic understanding and experience of freedom before I die. That's what I want to see in Australia, is actually to wake up one day and know that we have a really truly free country for the first time, you know, possibly ever. I mean, you know, we've got a pretty dark past, and it's been pretty ugly all the way through, I would say. But what's happening right now is that all the darkness is being exposed to the emerging light of consciousness. And so it looks like we're going down a really, really dark road. And in a sense, we are, if we continue to do what we're doing. But it probably looks worse than it is, because it's all of a sudden, it's all coming to the surface now. All the filth that had settled to the bottom and been repressed is now rising up to the surface, and it looks like all this new stuff's going on, but there's nothing new. It's really just the system being exposed for the fraud that it is, and the tyrannical leech on the back of humanity that it is. So, you know, we're all doing pretty good work here, and the more people who just take up the baton and say, you know what, I can do something here, even if it's just on social media, just sharing something that I wouldn't normally, that challenges an established belief structure to help people confront their own beliefs. You know, there's always some backlash when you start doing that, but, you know, that contributes to the overall shift and the awakening that's going on. It's just people sharing and verbalizing different things that they haven't done before, and giving other people a chance to experience information that they maybe haven't thought about before. And obviously, you know, we're very big on that kind of thing. I mean, that's all I've really ever used Facebook for, is putting reality in front of people's faces. And I have cleared out many an old friend from my contact list in doing so. And I noticed that the worst responders were the people who had gotten involved in the medical system or the as undergraduates, you know, studying medicine or whatever. They seemed to be the least emotionally and cognitively equipped to be able to deal with a lot of the stuff that was being shared around. And you know, that's not a coincidence, and that's got a lot to do with social, you know, enculturation and indoctrination, but also the indoctrination that people get when they get involved in the medical system, and the incredible pressures and stresses that get put on students to to pass tests and all this stuff, and like rote learn massive amounts of information. I mean, it's inhuman what they actually have to go through in order to come out the other side, and it's completely dehumanizing. And so it's no wonder that you look at these people come out with their degrees or whatever and their medical qualifications, and they're completely ill-equipped to actually deal with reality when they encounter it. And I would argue that's largely by design, because corporations have taken over the educational structure overwhelmingly, and most research institutes are funded by these corporations. And governments are proxies of the globalist cartel. They're just governments are there to raise revenue and to control the populace. So, we've got ourselves in a hell of a mess here. But I think you could make the case that it's not quite as ugly as it looks. The good news is that it's looking uglier and uglier because we are waking up to reality, and it's being shoved in our faces, whether we like it or not. And the people who are doing well are the ones who are making the choice to adapt and learn and question their established belief structures, and ask themselves, well, does my belief system actually have any merits to it? I mean, have I just passively inherited that, or could I actually go about formulating consciously a new belief structure that's more open and more adaptable and flexible? And that's one of the things that we're trying to foster with the work that we do with the Global Freedom University, or the Truthiversity as we're calling it, and obviously what we do in general with GFM and GFM Media. It's what I've been doing with my books. I published a book at the end of 2012, going into 2013, called The Grand Illusion, which is all about consciousness and reality, because for me, that's where the real legwork is done. That's where the shift is really fueled, I guess, most strongly, is at the level of consciousness and understanding what we are, what consciousness is, and what reality is, and going from there. So, I think we've tried, Amy and I have, to cover all bases, so to speak, all bases humanly possible for us anyway, and really bring together the 12, we've devised 12 core subject areas or topics where we have identified the information that people urgently need to know about, basic awareness, and also how to pragmatically apply what they're learning in their lives so that they can, withdraw from the system and create the kind of lives that they want and become authentic human beings instead of remaining obedient automatons stuck in the machine that doesn't give a flying F about them or anybody that they care about. It's all about control, and we're not doing well with this system now. We really need to acknowledge that it is fatally flawed. It's doomed, and we are doomed if we want to stick with it, because we'll be going down with the ship. But what we're saying is, let's build a new ship and hop on there.
That's right. Well, the rats are jumping off the old one, aren't they?
Some are too delusional to see that it's sinking.
Well, I said that a while ago. Sometimes I feel like I'm on this huge Titanic ship out in the middle of the sea, and, the whole planet's on there and everybody's gone mad, and there's like a bunch of us who know that the ship's going down, it's sinking, and, we're just trying to work out how we can get the information through to get to the captains or whatever to tell them the ship's sinking so we can try and help it, but everybody's gone mad on board and with the drinks and the entertainment. It's almost like that.
And it's like we the people on the ship who realize that it's hit an iceberg and it's rapidly
down,
taking on water. We're conspiracy theorists.
There's crazy people down in the hole down the ship. Yeah,
that's right. You can't listen to us because we're fringe nut jobs and we don't know anything. The fact that we've been down into the damaged parts of the ship to see where it's taking on water. Well, no, that's not, that hasn't happened. That's us making stuff up. That's delusional. That's conspiracy theory. And we're just tinfoil hat nut jobs. So you can't listen to us. You've just got to keep listening to the band. Go on, grab a deck chair and a cocktail and chill out, because everything's really fine, Adam. It's all good.
It's all good, yeah. Just have a drink and enjoy. It's like a mix of the Truman Show as well. So it's quite creepy, because you go out every day and not enough people are seeing it, which is their trip in this life. They're at the level they are. But just a side note that I wanted to mention before, I just put this article up. You guys would know about it. There was an event cancelled. There's a guy, David Wolf, who's coming. to Australia to do some talks. Did you see that his event was cancelled in Sydney?
We did.
It was interesting. I couldn't believe it. That's all. I don't so much follow his work. His name's David Avocado Wolf. He's a pretty strong promotional sort of speaker, and he talks about nutrition. He's anti-vaccination, of course, but I thought that was kind of unbelievable. They're stopping people to come into Australia and talk about nutrition now. And that's a reflection of how bad it's got. I really didn't know what to say about that, and the Sydney Morning Herald have called him an anti-vaxxer, and they've stopped the event in Chatswood, where he was coming to talk about health and nutrition, and they were saying, because Mr. Vitamins was sponsoring the event, and they've pulled out, and they said on Mr. Vitamins' Facebook page, this is from the Sydney Morning Herald, that the users of Mr. Vitamins and followers were angry and attacked the Facebook page because David Wolf's coming to Australia, and I was thinking, this is ridiculous, you know? Because, you know, these are people who obviously use supplements, but they don't want a guy to come and talk about nutrition and health. So it's getting so bizarre now, and it's not just about vaccines. They're trying to stop people from coming from another country and talking about raw diet and nutrition and health. And this is really disgusting. It has got bad here. It really has, because I just don't know anywhere that you would see this. And I just never would dream that this is Australia, because we've always had such great health products and you know, lots of health food stores and lots of great people living these lifestyles. But this is a direct attack, and it's whether you like this guy or not, this is taking away of someone's right and freedoms to come here and talk at an event. So it's a real worry.
It is. It's quite interesting. I'm actually friends with David Wolf, and I toured with him probably, it was last time he came, which is was 2013, so nearly 4 years ago. And what's interesting is he did an Australian tour back then, and there was no mention of any form of, you know, there was no conflict about what he teaches or what he shares in the media. He was actually welcomed warmly. There was he did an interview on the Today Show where he was talking about the raw food diet and all that kind of stuff, which is the information that he actually shares. And he's been a huge impetus for people to improve their health in many different ways. A huge following now on Facebook, and I think that is a major part of what is happening here, is that there's been a huge campaign against him. Most recently,
the vaccine skeptics, issue. Yeah, exactly. Same people
got on board, and they got together and they formulated this campaign called "Don't Cry Wolf," because they were worried that he has so many followers on his Facebook page and he's been sharing information that they don't like, such as stuff about vaccines and stuff about detoxification and what we should actually be eating and how to plant trees and just all of these solutions that we have easily available. And that's threatening to them and they don't like it. And it's quite interesting to see just how far the machine has been pushed in these past 4 years, to see the backlash that has come out of this particular tour, just because he's been involved with the Vax documentary and he's done a couple of talks with Dell and those who are part of that. And now all of a sudden he's been demonized. And it's quite funny when you read these articles, just one of them was entitled, you know, anti-vaxxer, flat earth believer, you know, who's trying to come to Australia. And it's interesting just to see how far they'll try and take it to stop people from questioning and going to hear the information that he's sharing. And the sad part about it, I mean, was to see the comments on those kinds of videos, because we're sort of in a bit of a bubble where we understand what's happening, but to see the unaware masses jumping on board without even researching him or understanding what he talks about and what he shares, jump on board and just some of the comments were just utterly disgusting, just really horrible things that you wouldn't say to another human being, but people are behind their computers
Oh,
and,
they're
you know,
trolls.
they're keyboard warriors now. And you might have a couple of trolls in there, but then also you've got the people who just jump on board. And
Bandwagon.
Brenna was doing a video about the bandwagon effect the other day, but yeah, it's like, oh, that person said that, the troll has said that, and now I'm okay to say that now. And it takes the human element out of it, the fact that, you know, this guy's just coming to share how people can live a healthy, long life. That's his passion. And yet it's been twisted and turned into this really weird kind of
And
situation.
that's yeah. I mean,
oh, it's a hate group. It's
it is.
it's a hate group. I've said that before. They stopped Dr. Sherry Tenpenny from coming to Australia, and the threats against her were so serious the FBI got involved over there. And I'm talking serious. She said, "You have no idea how bad this was." So it's an organized hate group. They're domestic terrorists.
They are
a group.
Terrorists.
Yeah, there's a group called Savin, Reasonable Hank, Peter Tierney, Tin, and whatever his stupid name is. The guy should go and get a life, really. But this is a whole bunch of them. They're a bunch of clowns. They're spineless, gutless trolls. They're absolute cowards, and they've stopped Vaxxed. If you remember the Castlemaine Theatre, that was supposed to be opening night there. And those guys weren't anti-vax; they were just running the theatre in Melbourne and wanted to put Vaxxed on. And they came out with a public statement, said they were threatened, that it was so serious that they pulled the film because they were fearful of the public. And I've asked this, how are these people getting away with this? I put an article out on this wolf situation, and I said, you know, it seems like Big Brother's watching us all, but how are these people able to threaten the public and threaten events and not have the federal police finding out, you know, their you know, through online where they are, who they are, why are they getting away with this?
Well, it's only,
you know,
it happens because they're organized. That's what's going on here. They get together, they share emails, they have a group, then they go, okay, we're all going to do this. Let's all complain. Let's all do this. Let's all do that. And they all do it. And then, you know, people bow to the pressure. And, you know, obviously in certain other situations, there's threats made and all kinds of horrible stuff. But at the lower levels, it's through organization. And that's one of the key elements that we've thought of when creating this university, is we know that, as you know, a lot of us are all so busy, you know, down different rabbit holes, that we don't have time to become organized and to speak with other people and see what we can do to change things. And that's going to be the beauty of having so many students within the university, is that we then become an organized group who are able to work together to achieve certain outcomes, because that's what's lacking.
That's right. That's right.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hugely.
And the thing is that at those lower levels, what you're seeing, that phenomenon you're describing about, you know, the censorship and all that stuff, that's because those people who are orchestrating that that is the behavior down to a T of religious fanatics.
Yeah, cult members.
They are a cult. And they don't even realize they are members of a cult, because the cult doesn't actually have a name. But all you have to do is look at their behavior, and you can see, they're not just religious believers. They're the worst kind of religious believers. They're religious fanatics and they're extremists. I mean, they're willing to throw death threats and all this stuff around. And it's because so many people have bought into this false ideology and worship this false god called medicine and authority in general, that they can get away with this stuff. And then at higher levels, you know, there's big pharma's tentacles are everywhere, corrupting everything that they touch. But the lower levels, you know, these guys are bullies, and they're effective bullies, because what is a cult? Well, a cult is a highly organized ideological structure, and that's the, as Amy was saying, that's their real key, is that high level of organization. They've got intense groupthink going on to the point where they almost operate as one organism. It's like an octopus with all these tentacles going out, and they're just trashing everything and everyone they can reach, because they want to protect their ideology. And it's, you know, it's a sacred cow that's being challenged here by someone. It's not even about, see, David Wolf isn't even here to talk about vaccines, but but the fact is that they've identified that he has an unfavorable view of them, and therefore they've turned the whole thing into David Wolf's view on vaccines, and that's how they're manipulating the confirmation bias and all the logical fallacies and things that the public has bought into unconsciously, and that's how they can keep shutting down discussion and shutting down new information. And that's exactly what a cult does. It streamlines itself informationally. It filters out information that does not fuel its confirmation bias, and it does not support its model, its abstract model of reality. And that's what these guys need to realize. If you're one of these people hating on someone like David Wolf or Sheree Tenpenny or, you know, David Icke or whatever, you are a member of that cult. You are a cult member. You're a religious fanatic, and you need to stop, because you probably don't describe yourself like that. But the fact that you say, oh, well, I'm a liberal and I believe in progress and science and all that stuff, that actually makes you a hypocrite, because you're preaching the exact opposite of what you're practicing. And we need to make ourselves aware of what we're doing here, so that our behaviors and thoughts are actually conscious and consciously and rationally thought through, instead of played out in this incredibly spectacularly volatile, irrational way that's happening right now, as you guys have just described.
It's unbelievable. Yep, all true. And Amy, you were talking about Jane Hansen's magnificent article in the Daily Telegraph. David Wolf, Flat Earther, brings anti-vax message to Australia. So Jane Hansen, she never fails to just keep bringing out worse and worse articles. I mean, I think, how low can this woman go? I mean...
There's a line towards the end of that article that
it's so ridiculous. It's like a comedy.
It's just crazy depths that she's gone to.
She pushes vaccines and drugs more than a pharmaceutical rep on steroids.
It's crazy.
I mean, anybody would have to say, why is an Australian News Corp columnist, pushing vaccines until her eyeballs are going to explode? I mean, this is anyone would have to look at that and say, and then it's all cynical, it's nasty, it's vindictive, and Jane, poor old Jane's worried about the people of Byron Bay, of course, but then, of course, here she's talking about babies, these poor little babies, of course. It's sad when any baby dies of whooping cough, but she's always bringing up the whooping cough and blaming, unvaccinated kids. My kid's unvaccinated, there's nothing wrong with her, in 15 months she hasn't even had a cold. And people will tell you this who have unvaccinated kids. She's going on about this. I have to read this again from the CDC, because it's so important. Emerging infectious diseases, pertussis infection in fully vaccinated children in daycare centers, CDC. You can see here in the conclusions, I can put it up for the hundredth time. They're talking about the whole cell pertussis vaccine basically being a failure, and the infection in a vaccinated person causes non-specific symptoms. We know this. Vaccinated adolescents and adults may serve as reservoirs for silent infection and become potential transmitters to unprotected infants. So they're saying very young babies or newborn babies can cop this, as their own siblings, brothers and sisters, can be acting as reservoirs and transmitters of that infection. But Jane, doing no science or research and having absolutely zero idea about real vaccine science, she hasn't even looked at anything. She won't even pick up one source of material that questions vaccine safety, but she feels the need to get up there over and over again and mouth off in these newspapers, if that's what you want to call them, about this stuff. And she's even attacking celebrity chef Pete Evans because he doesn't use sunscreen and this sort of stuff. So, the world, according to Jane Hansen, is that if you don't, she only wants a few things on the table, and that's drugs, vaccines, and GMOs. Anything that's connected to nature or good or wholesome or loving, anything that's healthy, any kind of form of natural medicine or anything, all off the table. It's all about drugs, vaccines, and filling your gut with GMOs. She's even attacking... She's got some balls, if I may say. I know that sounds disturbing, but to attack people like David Wolf and Pete Evans openly in this newspaper... with so many followers these people have. I mean, I know Pete Evans has over 1 million followers, I think, himself on Facebook, and she's going at his throat for no reason. The guy's done nothing wrong, except he wants to get people back eating better and being healthier. And so this is a very disturbing trend from these people, who I think personally have lost all credibility. I really do, and I think it's just become a comedy routine now. And I don't think David Wolfe cares too much, and I think he's going to talk more about vaccines now. Mm. So good on him, you know.
Yeah, it's going to backfire, and I don't think that they've lost credibility though. I have to disagree with you there, because you have to have credibility to lose
exactly.
it.
Well, I think they're. I don't know if their mouths are bigger than their egos or their egos are bigger than their mouths, but I think they have some credibility. I mean, I think for them, it's probably a powerful thing to be able to put out an article in one of these papers.
I think they get off on the...
Maybe.
I think they'd really get off on the drones who follow them and cheer them on, you know? They get that chemical hit from the recognition and the pat on the back kind of thing, and they're really not even worth talking about.
I think talking about them, it gives them credit, you know.
It does, yeah. And I don't like giving, you know, too much attention to these people. It's more useful, I think, to look at the ideological structures that these people have become hypnotized by and are promulgating and promoting out there, and watching what's happening on a sort of psychosocial level and on a metaphysical level, and you can start to see and diagnose what's going on instead of getting distracted by personalities, because the personalities don't really count for anything, especially when they're just lemmings who don't think for themselves. But if you pull back and look at the big picture, you see, oh, well, hang on, we've taken technology and any, like, for example, right, we've taken technology or any kind of technological innovation or development, and we've put it up on a pedestal to the point now where technology is one of our new gods, it's this new religion, and any form of progress technologically must by definition be good because technology is good. And so, you know, you can't challenge GMOs because that's one of the wonders of technology, you know, that we have to thank the biotech gods for bringing us this crap and propagandizing us about it, when it's just another religious structure that we've built up because we seem to like the stability of firm belief structures. We seem to love the illusion of certainty. We love being part of a group mentality, you know, the hive mind, all this stuff, like the whole biotech industry and big pharma, these things, they run on the hive mentality. That's what allows them to thrive and to be successful.
That's
in
right.
Harvesting billions of dollars and controlling people is just the hive mind effect, you know. One person's thought becomes the other person's thought, becomes the other, and so on, and until someone stops and goes, hang on a minute, is that really even a valid thought? Why the hell are we thinking this crap? The problem just perpetuates itself. So we're at the point now where there's no excuse for continuing to perpetuate these religious structures. We have to recognize that we have turned these things into religious structures, and that they're more dangerous than Islam or Christianity or Judaism or any of those traditional religious structures. They're much more dangerous because there are so many more people that buy into them so fervently and ardently and devoutly, and are willing to get, even in certain instances, violent and totally crazy about it, to the point of, you know, threatening venues with bomb threats and stuff like this to prevent someone from simply talking about how to be healthy without filling yourself with garbage. I mean, it's insane, but that's because we've turned these things into religions, and we've got cult members running around like headless chooks doing everything they can to prevent new information from entering the information grids of individuals, so they might actually change their minds. We can't have people changing their minds. That's dangerous stuff. Only conspiracy theorists do that, Adam.
Evil. Yeah, it's okay to have a, you know, three-story high cheeseburger, you know, which is all along the main road where I live, for McDonald's, you know, these huge cheeseburgers the size of a house, but David Wolfe can't talk about nutrition, and that's how ridiculous. I would honestly call Jane Hansen a threat to the Australian public, because in doing this, and I've studied health and stuff for like 15 years now, I don't like to be negative about it, but I'm seeing an attack on the human immune system. I feel like the human immune system is being prepped. It does worry me a little bit, but you know, there's an attack through the water, you know, through the chemicals in the water and the fluoride. There's an attack on the blood-brain barrier, which the fluoride helps the metals pass through. There's an attack on the pineal gland, on our spiritual antenna. There's an attack on our gut through the GMOs, on our immune systems, which is in the gut. You know, there's the vaccines, the food, the TV, the media, everywhere you look, there's this attack and dumbing down happening. But at the same time, almost like coming out of a cocoon, there's this kind of new human that's seeing all this, and it's really amazing testament to human beings in themselves and this and in a spiritual sense, because you're looking at people being poisoned down, but you're also looking at a mind level that they're coming out of all this and seeing what's being done to them. And, you know, whether you're going to do that in this life is up to you and where you're at. But there's a definite attack on people, and I'm seeing it very strongly. And I don't want that to happen to my child and their children. And I think, you know, the doctors like to say in regards to people being sick or having cancer that everything's genetic. And I think that's like pointing the bone at people. You tell someone, you know, you're going to get breast cancer. I mean, I've seen shows from England where young girls are getting double mastectomies. Their breasts cut off because they're being told that they're going to get cancer and they don't even have it. And this is what's going on. And I think you can... You can with your own children and yourself, start to put in a more positive lifestyle and way of thinking and dietary regime, and then you will start to breed healthier people and take that out of the way. So, but it's getting worried with the obesity epidemic in Australia and what people are eating and everything, and I'm just seeing this huge dumbing down there as well. And I see like these people who are writing for these papers are pushing that agenda. And that, to me, makes them a very much an enemy and a dangerous person indeed, you know, in this current climate. But there's also a lot of people who are wanting to get healthier, mind and spirit and body. And I think that's from, you know, I haven't followed David a lot, but he seems to push that a lot. And I can't see how someone with a name like David Avocado Wolf can be a threat to the community, but that's what they're saying. But I think, as you said before, Brendan, none of this media is bad media. I think that every time they do this, it's going to make people more interested. It's like the Vaxxed film. More people are going to want to see it. And so I always say thank you. So I'll say thank you, Jane. Thanks for the great publicity. And I think you're just getting, you know, thousands of more people on board and interested. Because, you know, I will say that there's definitely a group here in Australia who are very, very desperate for people to just shut up about vaccines. They don't want anyone even talking about the other side of vaccines. They don't even want it mentioned. And we're seeing that with the midwives and nurses being able to be prosecuted now for even talking about it. And they're trying to bring in that spook where people just get too scared to even open their mouths. Doctors, everybody, no one even wants to talk about it. And that's a horrible way or a horrible situation for Australia to be in, where no one's talking. Because it should be open, there should be discussions on all of this, on what's right, what's wrong, you know, and not letting someone like David talk, it is really, to me, a reflection of how rapidly things have declined. So we have some work to do, but, you know, I'll take it as a positive, and hopefully more people can get along to those events and see the guy, you know. Good on you.
I think they will.
Yeah, I think so too.
That event was just a free event that they were putting on as a community service for people. So for people who couldn't afford to, or, you know, couldn't make it to the longer events, that was just a couple of hours that was free for people, which is the funniest part, you know.
He's so money hungry.
And that's the labels that are put on him. You know, he's a snake oil charlatan, you know, salesman. And one of the things I noticed about that article was Brendan and I were talking about how crazy it is, you know, people going off because he might sell something, a product that helps people get healthy, and yet they cannot see that their doctor is selling them a product as well. But that's okay, because that's the sacred cow, you know, don't question that one. But how dare that dude, you know, sell me a supplement that will help me get healthier and have a longer life, you know?
That's right, yeah. It's amazing. And they've turned his whole visit into this whole no jab thing. I love the way they twist everything, you know, and it didn't even have anything to do with that. I mean, I'm sure he would bring that stuff up, the vaccine issue, but he's going to bring up many, many, many issues at his talks. I'm very interested in the raw diet thing. I've tried to follow that myself, but they've just turned it into the vaccination thing, which is their thing. That's what they do. They don't have any science or any one speck of, one shred of evidence to back up anything they say. So they continue with the lies and trying to maintain the lies. But I'm noticing even in their own papers now, other than the trolls that follow them, you know, people have pretty much had enough and they're calling it out, which is good. We do know that a lot of these trolls that we were talking about that are making threats, they actually work with these people like Jane Hansen, and they're supplying them information from the Facebook groups, dirt, really. So if that's what they want to do in this life and that's how they want to spend this precious life, which is so precious if they want to spend it doing this, then so be it. But I'm kind of in this now to make sure that people can talk, because it's I've never seen anything like this where they're stopping someone from talking, whether it be a simple free event or not. It's a bit of a frightening display there, and I hope people get onto this. It's not good enough that they're getting away with that. I really am disgusted with this, I have to say. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was just an attempt to try and censor things, and it's not going to work. His tour will be stronger than ever.
That's great. Yeah,
And it will continue, and it will gain momentum around Australia, and more people will see him this time than they did before. And a lot of them will be curious about why there was so much, you know, hatred sent his way, and he'll wake a whole lot of people up. So I think, you know, these articles, they play a huge role in the awakening, and not via the information that they share, obviously. It's through us dismantling them and seeing through what they're doing, the techniques they're using, and all that sort of stuff. And then the more we see articles like that, we're able to discern for ourselves, okay, that is not useful, let's look somewhere else. Because that's how we share with other people, you know, that's how it spreads through the ripple effect, you know. We don't need to read that stuff. There's plenty of other stuff. And if we can see beneath the veil, behind the veil, whatever you call it. Then that's what it's about. Okay, we don't need that stuff. And the more people that do that, like, we know that the papers are all struggling. They're clutching at straws. They're putting paywalls up. They're doing all these things to try and maintain readership, because no one's reading them anymore. And so the more sensationalist they get, you know, they're failing.
Yeah, and the more they, you know, it's like, you know, as you're talking about this, I'm reminded of David Icke's recent tour and how, you know, he was on that show with
Stefanovic.
Carl Stefanobrain. And
it was incredible.
And it's funny because they end up shooting themselves in the foot because they're so over the top, obnoxious and rude and ignorant that even people like who are quite conservative and don't really know much will sit there and go, "What? I can't believe how they're treating this guy. Why are they being such assholes to him?" And it makes people think, and it makes people the media loses their credibility, or their, you know, very thin veneer of credibility with these people who are quite conservative, because they're going, even if you disagree with him, why would you be such an asshole? So that suddenly gets the wheels turning, and it's like, well, now I'm a bit interested in David Icke. I want to know why they're being so horrible to him. And, oh, why are they telling me not to listen to David Wolf? You know, you tell someone, don't think about pink elephants, and they think about pink elephants. And you tell someone, don't look over there, and we're curious, so we immediately want to look over there. So I think the more desperately they try to shut everything down, the more they keep knocking the fence sitters off the fence into the side of, you know, curiosity and investigation, because a reasonable individual who's not completely indoctrinated and clueless would look at what they're doing and go, oh, that's weird. Wow, that's a bit extreme. That's a bit odd, isn't it? A bit off, a bit on the nose. And they start asking questions. So, you know, all those fantastic, you know, domestic terrorists out there who are, you know, doing this stuff, you know, on some level, we I guess could be grateful for their activities. But yeah, ultimately they're pretty regressive and pretty horrible. And the sooner we wake up and break the spell collectively, you know, the less of an audience these idiots will have, and the less they will be able to be even employed by these, you know, kind of news media outlets, and they'll have to maybe go and get a job that actually contributes something to the world, which would be nice.
He's a clown. Stefan Ovik is a clown. And he made a clown of himself, not just to this country, but the whole planet. It went all over the world, and I think David used that because you know it was you know more people are going to go and see him talk. But you're right there, I mean, it's amazing because I don't know why people don't have that self awareness or even some dignity to turn around and say, you know, like and stop and at least say, look, if I don't agree with this guest or whatever, they're nice enough to come on, at least meet them halfway and ask some challenging questions or whatever. But you get that with these radio shock jocks and these morning TV people. They're just utterly horrible. And, you know, it doesn't, I do read some, a lot of articles and I go through stuff because I do this and I like to dissect it and talk about it. There was a time when it did bother me and upset me, but I'm kind of past that now. It just goes right through me. I don't bother, but I do look at all this and see if I can rearrange it and work out what they're really saying and put it out to people and get the discussion going. But to do that on national television and treat someone like that and act like a clown, and you know, a total buffoon, and humiliate yourself in front of the planet, and not care about it, just, I'm thinking, what kind of people are these? I mean, where do they come from? I just, it really amazes me. And I think a lot of people overseas would look at that and be sad and kind of shocked. Because, you know, it angers me a lot in Australia that we don't have good sort of current affairs shows and shows on that challenge the norm a little bit. You know, I thought it was good they got him on, but to do that was really something I've never seen. I was really surprised at that, and it still blows me away when I think about it. And you know, I would have sacked him. And David Icke said the sports presenter on that show, he looks a bit like a pig. He was eyeballing him and pointing at him. And you're like, he said, I was sitting there getting ready to do the talk, and this guy was eyeballing me and pointing at me and saying stuff behind his breath. And the guy doesn't know anything about him. He hasn't been to one show. He hasn't read book. He doesn't know anything about the man. He hasn't even listened to one word. He's just heard that he's a conspiracy theorist. And he's just acting out the way that he's been told to.
Yeah,
and that's a really amazing thing, you know. It really blows me away that they've done that. But as you said, you know,
it's like, you know, in Castaneda's book, with the shaman, or the, you know, the fictitious shaman who might have been an amalgam of several different people, and he was explaining to Castaneda, you know, there's this entity or this force that has, or a creature or whatever the word was he used, that has, you know, taken over. And the worst thing that they've done, the most horrible, horrific thing that they've done, is that they've given us their mind. And that's really what it boils down to, is the psychology of our captors has been absorbed. We've taken it on, and we're replicating it now through all these different beliefs, and we are violent. I mean, we are violent in pursuing and protecting these beliefs and pushing them. And, you know, that's what someone like David Icke's experiencing when he gets this pushback from a guy who met him, never read a book, doesn't know anything about him. But, you know, the unconscious, is these drones are just detecting something that seems to be a threat. And, you know, through their very, you know, distorted lens of reality that they see through, and they don't like that. They want their psychological model, their worldview to be left untouched, unscathed. Leave it alone. And someone like David Icke or David Wolf or, you know, me or Amy or whatever, or you, we represent to that disempowered, ignorant mindset. We represent a threat that has to be neutralized somehow. And so this is what we're up against, is a psychology that may or may not have even originated with human beings, but we've got it now, and we have to recognize that it belongs to something or someone else, and it doesn't serve us at all. It's actually, we are enslaved by our own beliefs right now.
Yeah, it's amazing. You guys do the DNA activation, and they're now telling us in the latest news that human genome is over 90% junk now. So telling us that over 90% of our human DNA is garbage. And this is what they teach people in university, and it's quite shocking. And I think that they don't know about this DNA. I think they have no idea. Maybe there's certain deeper fractions that have researched some of it. I think some of it is going to point to the stars in some way. That's my inkling on that. I think that it's non-human, or there's mixing going on in there, in our ancestry. But this is what they're telling people, and it's this big lie, just like the vaccines and the TV and the media and our DNA. Everything is a lie, and the shell is cracking, and I think people are starting to question this so-called reality around them every day of their life that's being spoon-fed into their mouth through the TV, through the newspapers, through their jobs, everywhere, and starting to look at this. And I think that's a natural progression, which is good. I think there's a shift happening on the planet. It's a dimensional thing. The planet is changing. Those who are ready are going to move along with it. Those who are not will stay behind. And, I don't think this cosmic change can be stopped. I think it's definitely a positive thing. And, this is going forward, absolutely. But we'll finish up now this is a Gather Change page, because I wanted to bring this up before we go, because it's very important, because you're raising money here. This has become a founder of a Global Freedom University. And there's quite a good amount of money being pledged here. This is the Global Freedom University. If anyone wants to look up the Rockefeller Foundation and the creation of the universities and how they were able to take great minds and just mold them and change them, in these universities, and how our modern universities were set up, it's scary and it's very interesting indeed. But this is such a great idea when I saw it, because as we've been talking about tonight, there's so much information out there that people want to learn now. Before we finish tonight, let's go through the basics here. Give us just a basic layman's rundown for people, our listeners, what this is, and how they can get connected or help raise money or get involved in any way. What do people do with this?
Well, obviously right now we've got the crowdfunding campaign going. We're in the last, 30-odd hours of that. I think it finishes technically at probably midnight tomorrow night. That's running on Sydney time. We're at the business end of it, so to speak, and we're looking to hopefully rally the troops to the extent of having 100 enrolled students to kick things off, to help fund the creation of it, and to be there as the community there on the ground when it opens up and it becomes functional. This is the hub. This is the educational hub and the social hub that we're talking about, that we were talking about before, that we seem to so desperately need right now. So we've just responded, I guess, to a need, and we've been hearing from a lot of different people, that this is the kind of thing that they're waiting for, and they're tired of Facebook and this and that, and they want a real alternative to these things. And that's what we're interested in creating here. So we've basically, the idea is Amy and I are going to be curating a lot of information here. We are both writers. We're going to be assembling a lot of information and doing a lot of writing. And we're going to be pulling in leading edge experts from various different fields. When I say experts, I don't mean that everyone who has a contribution to make has a PhD. I mean, we will simply assess, their information on the merits of it rather than their so-called qualifications. And we want people in there who can really offer something of value, something that's really, based in reality and pragmatically useful if possible. We're going to have a lot of that sort of stuff. We understand that there is a real increasing need right now for people who are unplugging from the matrix to find ways of making that transition easier and less painful, and You know, we've got people who are you know, like living in cities right now who want to move to the country, and people who are starting to realize that they're not as healthy as they thought they were, and they want to get healthy or whatever it is. People who just want to understand what the basic nature of reality is, and so we've got like a broad spectrum here of subject matter that we're going to be curating. We're going to be having a multi-dimensional aspect to this, so it's not just a bunch of words on the screen. We realize not everyone learns like that. I mean, Amy and I have a preference for reading because we read quickly. We read a lot faster than someone speaks in an audio or video clip. So for us, it's more efficient. But, you know, sometimes it's just fun to be able to watch a video, listen to a podcast or whatever. So we're going to have all of those different angles covered in there so that it's engaging and interesting and compelling, and people will be instinctively drawn to, you know, go through the material from top to bottom and really get the maximum benefit of it.
How, what about people who would like to be a backer or put more money into this?
Yeah, well, as you said, the gatherchange.com/GFM page is where they can do exactly that, and it's awesome. Even if they can't, you know, if they don't have the money, which we totally understand, sharing it on social media, emailing it to their database, all that kind of stuff is really, really valuable in terms of getting the word out and you know, helping with the funding side of things. If they have gear like an old camera or recording equipment that they no longer use or want, you know, we are accepting that as well, and we will include them on the founder's role and place them, you know, in an at the appropriate reward package level based on what they have to offer, because that's the crowdsourcing component of this campaign, which has been a kind of over what's the word overlooked
Yep.
it's been overlooked a bit. So we've done fairly well in terms of people understand the crowdfunding side of it now. Everyone understands that that's where you donate money for the cause or whatever, but we are accepting useful gear as well, so it's not like people are stuck in a situation where they either give money or nothing. You know, you can share on social media, you can donate equipment, all of that's really valuable. And right now, you know, the exposure that we're getting through Facebook shares, I think, has been the most valuable tool as far as our reach and exposure is concerned. It's been the biggest one, probably by far. So they're the best ways that people can really help. I think Ames might have something to add to that, possibly.
This is like a universe. This will be like a university that people can log on to it at home and study.
Absolutely. That's the idea.
Like a doing a course or like that. So you just do it at home and can study different things.
And there'll be lessons, there'll be different modules, different topics. We've got 12 faculties, which are the broad areas. You know, that includes things like health, well-being and medicine, the science of spirituality and consciousness, natural law, banking, finance, economics, media. There's a whole bunch of different areas, and the idea behind the way that we've set the university up is that we know that in mainstream education, we're generally rewarded for delving deep into one particular topic, and we will become that as an adult, and that's our life. You know, we only would learn one thing, and we're really good at that. But what we need right now is more people who are adept at many different topics, and not necessarily experts in all those topics, but they understand a basic foundational level of each of those areas so that they can bring them all together and be a well-rounded human, because that's not what we have right now. And we recognize that if we were all like that, if we knew what was happening, if we knew what had happened in the past, and if we knew what we need to do in the future to make, you know, this world a freer, better place, then, you know, that's what we're aiming for. So that's the idea behind it. That's the what's the word? The mission, or you know, that's what we want out of this is a lot of well-rounded humans who are compassionate, who understand the world around them, who work together with each other, and can actually, you know, bring freedom to the world.
So people who log in and do different settings or courses, what do they get when they complete the course? They get like a something to take?
Well, if they'd like a piece of paper, we could make up a certificate for them. We haven't really, placed much emphasis on that side of things because that's old paradigm to us.
Is that
But
more
like
of
I
a
said,
personal development for people who want to get educated in this regard with these things for themselves, like a life thing,
yeah, that's
in a
right.
way?
It's
Yeah, which is going to
well,
empower them for work and all sorts of things in their life as well.
yeah. It's much more useful.
Mm.
So that's right. So instead of being, a specialist in some area and you get your doctorate and your piece of paper, you're going to be a much more knowledgeable and well-rounded, more balanced human being. You're going to, in time, in the time that people spend there as the weeks go by, they're going to be exposed to more healing modalities, things that can de-traumatize and heal psychological wounds and all this sort of stuff. And we know a whole a bunch of material along those lines. And the key thing is with that stuff, it's really hard to create the kind of life that you would like to have if you're messed up and you're emotionally scarred and traumatized and you've got all these self-defeating belief structures and all that kind of stuff. So there's that really pragmatic level to it that we want to make sure is in there, as well as the higher level sort of knowledge and more esoteric and obscure knowledge. So we're covering all bases, and we're doing the things that we're personally interested in, as well as the things that we know other people are interested in learning about and applying in real life.
Fantastic. Very transparent and in your face there. So anyone can log on and have a look. There's a lot of information in the letter I got, which explains everything. So I can and put that link up. It talks about you guys as well a little bit and how to join and everything and a lot of the guests you've had. You got newsletters and tons of stuff. I can't get to the bottom of it. It's a lot of stuff for people to get if they want to.
There's a lot of rewards on offer
There is, yeah.
and varying lengths each. All rewards above $60 include enrollment in the university as well at varying lengths. So, if and that's at quite a discounted price. We haven't priced the university yet, but we know that $60 for 6 months in the university is a pretty good
That's
deal,
great, yeah.
along with all the other rewards that are there. And the thing about becoming a founder is that we recognize that we cannot do it without these founders, the people who are supporting us now. They see the vision, they understand how transformative this is going to be, and they're the people who are backing us right now. So we intend on rewarding all the founders in the future for the lifetime of their enrollment in many different ways, and that might look like private sort of sessions with us. It might look like interviews from behind the scenes that other people don't get. It might look like discounts on different products and services and the enrollment in the university. There's tons of ways that we would love to reward the founders for rewarding us now.
Great. It looks and sounds fantastic and very positive, and I'm glad that I was able to chat with you about this. Thanks for your time. It's been really enlightening for myself, and I am following this myself, and it looks like it's going to be you're going to hit it out of the ballpark. I'm thinking it's going to be really good. I might check a few of my contacts to see if they can get involved. People like Dr. Rima with 45 years knowledge on she herself practices drug-free medicine for over 40 years. She loves writing and teaching and everything. And there's people like that as well. I know you were asking about John Rappaport, who's a great investigative reporter. I think as this grows, you might get, you will get actually, a lot of these great people on board. I'm hoping this kind of starts to spin out of control. And,
So are we.
yeah, because I think a lot of, in my hunch would be that a lot of, professional people, wealthy professional people, would want to get involved also in studying, because I think a lot of people, if you look at the vaccine issue, in regards to that, may have vaccinated their kids. I've spoken to a lot of ladies, it could be 50, 60, 70s, and they're just now starting to to do their own research and look into a little bit about what vaccine damage may be, what it may look like, what might happen if you vaccinate, what's in them, what ingredients do they contain, who makes them, and, you know, they're learning this stuff, and then they're becoming you know, more knowledgeable and wanting to learn more in that respect. And then you might have people that want to learn more about, you know, money or just a diet, or it could be all sorts of things. A lot of retired people, a lot of students, people might would want to come in and take the courses and learn this stuff for themselves instead of going all erratic online and looking at so many thousands of different information. They can log into the course and do the things that suit them and get all this information back. So it's definitely a great idea and very unique. So really well done.
Thanks. Thanks for the time to talk about it. And we hope that everyone listening has got something out of it. And hopefully we've been clear. And, you know, if people have questions or whatever, don't hesitate to get in touch with us. And you can connect with us through the Global Freedom Movement website. That's globalfreedommovement.org. And, you know, they can jump on the newsletter emailing list there on the homepage as well. So it's easy. We're pretty accessible. We're pretty accessible on Facebook as well with the Global Freedom Movement page and our personal profiles as well. So, yeah, we're pretty embedded in the whole grassroots situation, and we're just trying to take things next level. So, you know, all the support, like your support and everyone else's, is just awesome.
Yeah, I'm just a cog in the machine. I'm shoveling in the background. You know, I'm out there in the background shoveling away. Doing my bit. Everyone is doing something. You know, you guys are doing this, I'm doing this. I find that I work with a lot of people off social media. They're all doing different things, you know, doing little blogs and getting things out. So it's, you know, people are really getting interested in all this information coming to light and learning. And we need change. I can't say it enough. We need change. We need something. And we need something for our young people who might be waking up to all this but a little bit confused with how much information there is now. It can be an overload if you don't know where to look. So, you know, being able to access stuff in a free and comfortable manner is a great thing indeed. As we get so much information, and you guys are able to take that as well, and as you grow, you can filter it through and keep building the courses as you go. So it's definitely sounds great, but great to have you here, and we'll try and catch up again sometime soon when you're free, as you move forward, to check in and see how things are going.
Awesome. Rock on, thanks, mate, for having
thanks
us.
Thank you. Okay, there goes Brendan and Amy, and great speaking to them. That was a lot of fun, a lot to go through. So you can check out globalfreedommovement.org, check out everything on there, and you can become a founder, or just check out the gatherchange.com. But I'll put all these links up, a lot of information to read there. Global Freedom University, everything they didn't teach you at school. So really, really interesting stuff. I like this, people who are getting off their asses and getting out there and really making a change. So it's good to speak with them. Very different show tonight. So hope everyone enjoyed it, and stay safe, stay sane, stay positive, and keep that TV out of your brain.